a submission to the UN Universal Periodic Review, the National Women's Council has said that the deepening housing crisis has increased women's risk of homelessness and trapped many in abusive situations. Corinne Hassan, Executive Director of the NWC, joins me now on the line. Good morning, Corinne. Thanks for joining us on the Kildare Today show.
Good morning, Hannah. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Firstly, looking at this review that the national, or the submission that the NWC made to the UN Universal Periodic Review, what exactly is that review that you submitted the report into?
Yep, so the Universal Periodic Review, it's essentially a global rights kind of, it's a check-in, essentially, where every UN member state has its record reviewed by other countries roughly every 5 years. And essentially what it does is it checks our progress. It checks to see how we're doing for equality in Ireland. And then the results of that should kind of give us recommendations that government can then implement.
And when was the last submission made to the UN for Ireland here?
So the last UPR took place in 2021. So that would have been at the end of the previous National Strategy for Women and Girls. So the National Women Council, like, we have welcomed the new National Strategy for Women and Girls, which has recently been developed. It's 2025 to 2020 or 2030. And we're co-designing the upcoming action plan with the department. But I suppose for us, one of the biggest things around this whole submission is that things like that action plan and the strategy, it will only be successful if it is fully resourced, if there's accountability, and if there's implementation across government departments. And essentially, that's what we're asking for, Hannah.
Is that where some of the issues lie, is the fact that the policy has been written, but it's actually implementing it and enforcing it is where the shortfalls are coming?
Absolutely. And as we said in that in the press release that went out yesterday, kind of we're policy rich, but we're implementation poor. So you mentioned just at the start of the interview there about kind of the housing crisis and violence against women. And you're absolutely right. Essentially, Ireland's housing crisis has really, really deepened and has become more of a crisis than it's ever been. And that has really, really increased that risk of homelessness. And it has trapped so many women in abusive situations. I mean, we're at a stage now, Hannah, where women are actually deciding, do I become homeless, or do I stay at home with an abuser? And that's really, really, like, unsettling. It's disappointing. Mm. It's tragic in a lot of cases, you know. And like the establishment of CUIN and the publication of the third national strategy on domestic, sexual and gender-based violence were kind of critical positive steps since that last UPR submission. However, there needs to be that greater focus on kind of mutually reinforcing relationships between housing insecurity and violence against women. So here at the National Women's Council, you know, we recently met with Minister Brown, he's our housing minister, to again reinforce with him the need for, like, our local authorities to really, really recognise domestic violence as a reason for women to enter homelessness, and that they're not then faced with additional barriers whenever they are trying to access homes for both them and their children.
Unfortunately, it is something that makes sense, because nobody wants to face homelessness. But again, which is the lesser of two evils here? Do you face not having a home, not having security, or do you face an abusive situation? In terms of, I suppose, the refuge centres here in Ireland, are there enough of them for women to avail of, or is that where we're also lacking in infrastructure?
That is where we are also lacking. So there's a big push at the minute to make sure that we have at least one refuge in every county. There's still a number that don't have a refuge. But what we're also asking for then is, you know, like, a refuge is, it's a temporary situation. So quite often a woman will take that real, real courageous step to leave an abusive home. She will make her way to a refuge. And unfortunately, it's kind of roughly around 3 months that, you know, she will get to stay there. And at that stage, if we don't have any other long-term accommodation solutions, at that stage, she's then also making a decision, does she become homeless or does she go back to an abuser? And quite often a woman and her children, if they have any, will make their way back to that abusive home. And unfortunately, you know, there's a huge power imbalance whenever it comes to abusive relationships. But at that stage, whenever a woman returns back after having left, there's a real, real significant power balance. And that's whenever we find things are extremely difficult for women. So we need more refuges, absolutely. But it's the long-term accommodation solutions that we need for after those refuge accommodation stays that we need as well.
And you mentioned there that you did meet with the housing minister. What was the discussion like? Is there a joint up thinking on how to address, one, the housing crisis, and then on top of that, what unfortunately has become of it, of women facing staying in abusive relationships just to have a roof over their head?
Yeah. I think it was a very progressive meeting. You know, we went in with a kind of a number of asks, and a lot of it is around social housing. So that if a woman leaves a home that she, you know, that she owns with her partner, that she can still get onto the housing list, because quite often you can't get onto the housing list if you own your own home. So he was very open to that. He's looking at that. He said that there is a joint protocol that they're working on. They're hopefully going to release later this year. That will also give advice and information to the local authorities in terms of how to better support women whenever they're leaving domestic abusive relationships. So we're hopeful that we will see a protocol that will have different things, like if a woman who's already in social housing needs to move to a different county, that she's also supported within that move and not put to the bottom of the housing list whenever she goes to a different county. Or some local authorities would ask that you have, I suppose, a relationship to somebody in that county or a reason for being in that county, whereas we want that kind of removed so that there doesn't have to be a reason if somebody wants to move from one county to another, if she is saying that there is domestic violence and that's the reason that she's looking for that transfer. So there is definitely an openness. As I say, there's a protocol that is being developed at the minute. We haven't seen it, and we're very welcome that there is a thought of domestic violence within the housing space at the minute. Up until the last kind of housing action plan, domestic violence had not been mentioned once. So even that in itself is a step forward, it's progress. But again, you know, we can have our protocols, we can have our strategies, we can have our frameworks, but it's the implementation of it and making sure that everybody in the local authorities know what's to be expected and to know what they can and can't do to be able to support women who are in these abusive relationships.
Of course, and there were other areas highlighted in the NWC submission to the UN review. Mm-hmm. What else was brought up? Maybe were there some positives, or was it, as you said there, it was positives but also taking it like partial positives?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the other pieces that we kind of wrote about was health. So like health has seen progress, but access remains unequal. So there's been significant investment and political focus on women's health, which we do welcome, including successful women's health action plans and measures like free contraception from we last submitted the UPR. So there has been movement. However, we still see barriers to abortion. There's gaps in mental health services, including the lack of a mother and baby unit, which we're really, really pushing for. And significant health inequalities still exist among traveller, Roma, disabled and migrant groups of women. You know, so that shows us that the system still is not equitable. So again, we're seeing positives in that there's these, you know, initiatives coming forward like contraception, but it's just the access to some of these are still not great. Another area that we brought up in the submission was around childcare. So it still remains a bit of a barrier. In fact, it's a major barrier to equality. So, you know, from the lack of women in politics to the 35%, you know, pension pay gap that we have, childcare still remains unaffordable and inaccessible for many families. So what we're asking for is a publicly funded, accessible system so that many women can get back into the workplace, can get back into volunteering, can get back into their hobbies, can get back into society. And again, we've seen shifts with the government of kind of even in the last few months, but we really need to see a push forward because women are still being locked out of a lot of society.
It seems that the main takeaway from this is that as you were saying, the policies are there, but it's really the implementation has been quite slow, and it's that push that really is needed now. What would speed it up? I mean, what would get the government and those who are making the decisions to really push this forward now?
It's hard to say. I think we're in a very precarious place globally. You know, we have wars happening, you know, security is at risk, and obviously we've had protests recently. But what I would really like to see is across government departments really, really kind of building on this. So we need to kind of realise that like the housing doesn't just lie in the housing minister, you know, like that there has to be that cross government piece. And I think some departments are really open and really welcome to kind of working with each other, but we really need to see that collaborative approach within government. And I think that's actually what we will see, you know, really pushing that implementation of the policies and of the actions. I think also civil society organisations like the likes of the National Women's Council, we really do have a part to play in ensuring that we're holding people to account. So if there's an action plan that says A, B and C is going to happen, we need to be tracking to make sure that A, B and C actually is happening on the ground. And where it's not happening, that's whenever we need to be able to go to the departments and to call them out and to see what we can do also to support the actions from taking place. So again, it's about people coming together, it's about people working together, it's about that collaboration, and then also to have civil society and NGOs holding people to account.
And Corinne, finally, for people who are interested in the work of the National Women's Council, want to find out more information or joining them, how can they go about doing so?
I think your best thing is to go to nwci.ie, to our website. We have a huge amount of information on there, lots of publications, lots of different things that you can read. We're also all across social media, so come and find us. And also, I think the best thing is to become a feminist change maker. So it's kind of being an extra special member of the National Women's Council. It gives you access to all of the work that we're doing, any events that we're having that you'll be invited to, and essentially just to be part of the work that we're doing in progressing equality for women and girls across Ireland.